Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever dreamed of one day owning your own business, but just don't know where to begin? Then you've tuned into the right show. On All Things Franchising, you will hear from top national franchisers, successful franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, and others who support this fast-growing business model. So grab a cup of coffee and pen and notepad, because you will want to capture the invaluable information you hear on today's show. And now, here is your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey, good morning, folks. This is Linda Ballesteros with All Things Franchising, and I'm your host today. Thanks so much for joining me. You know, I always say at the top of the show, I'm really honored when someone spends time with me. Remember, time is that one commodity that you can't get back. So today, it is all about junk, folks. So if you have any junk in your garage, you have any junk in your attic, if you have some junk in a storage shed somewhere and you have absolutely no idea what to do with that, you're going to want to stick with us and take some notes here. You know, the junk removal business is just exploding. And why is that? I think it's because we just don't want to get rid of stuff and we just keep collecting. In the U.S., it is a $75 billion, and that's with a B, folks, $75 billion annual business. And, you know, there's always going to be junk. I read an article, there's always going to be junk. And you know what that means? There's always going to be a need for junk removal. So today my guest is Mike Andriacchi, and I hope I said that right, Mike. He's with Junk King. He's the founder and CEO of Junk King. And he's going to share with us today about how he and his longtime friend took their vision and built it to a junk hauling business, which now has over 100 franchise locations in the U.S. and in Canada. Help me in welcoming Mike. Mike, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I am too, Mike. Help me with the pronunciation of your last name so everybody will know it right.
Yeah, you actually got it right. It's Andriacchi.
Awesome. Awesome. That was a shot in the dark.
Italian, I've been told it's an Italian name, so we're sticking to that. I've heard some people from say it's Greek, but it is the Italian heritage, Andriacchi.
Andriacchi. Awesome. Very good. Well, you know, Mike, I was really intrigued by, to begin with, I think junk and junk removal is a huge business because we see that there are so many storage facilities around, and that just says that people have more stuff than what they have square footage in their home, and at some point they seek someone like you. So tell me a little bit about how you got into this industry, what drew you to it, and how you grew it to the franchise business that it is today.
So I kind of, thank you, I tripped into the business, to be very frank with you. I went to a couple colleges chasing a football career and just wanted to be a college athlete, never aspirations to make the NFL because I was far from there. But in college, I met who is my wife now and girlfriend at the time. And I had lost my job, and I had just an awesome job from the age of 15 until I was about 23 years old, where I can show up to that job anytime I wanted, for an hour, for 8 hours, for 2 weeks. And so it was very convenient at where I was in my life. And then we parted ways. And so at that point I said, you know, I really just want to focus on finishing college and taking the next steps into my career, and I wanted to go into criminal justice. I always wanted to be in the police world, but really kind of scale within the department. And so I was really focused on school. Well, my girlfriend at the time said, you can't do that. You need to get a job. And I said, well, I need a resume. I need to put all these things together. I have 6 months left of school. I'm just going to finish school. So the next day I came home and she said, you have a job interview tomorrow. And I looked at her very, very perplexed. And I said, what do you mean I have a job interview? She's like, well, I did a resume for you and I sent it into a couple companies and one got back to us, or to us, I said. Anyway, long story short, I had an interview at 1-800-GOT-JUNK the next day. And something that I'm very good at is I'm very relational with people. I've always had kind of the gift of gab. I think that's helped me in business, is I have no problem doing presentations in front of people and interviewing and doing those type of things. So I showed up to this interview for a junk job in a suit and tie, as I was taught to do at a young age. And now that I'm in the industry and hiring these same individuals, I can tell you that in the last, since 2005, I may have had one individual show up in a suit and tie for a job interview to work on a junk truck. So I think I had them at go. Anyway, had a great interview, and I worked for them for in the industry, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, a great company, our biggest competitor. We do feel like we've separated ourselves now, and I can touch on that a little later. But I worked for them for about 8 months, and then I looked at owning one of their franchise opportunities, and that just wasn't something that worked out for me, one, for price, and two, because my backyard, or where I grew up and where all my network was not an available territory. Mm-hmm. So my business partner and I, decided to do this on our own, and we have literally, you know, painted our trucks red because, you know, growing up, he had a red Mustang, and we were always told, why would you have a red Mustang? It stands out more than any other car, and you're always going to get pulled over. And so when you were building a junk business, that's what we wanted, was to stand out. And so that's how we got the color red. I was literally driving by Burger King one day and said, what about Junk King or King Junk? And that's how we got the name. And so it all kind of happened organically. But we had big aspirations to franchise the business very early on, and so we wanted to make our local unit successful, but always with the goal to franchise at a very early stage in the business.
Now, Mike, you talked about making it, the local unit or the local location be successful. Where's local?
Local, we're in San Francisco, California, more importantly, the peninsula, which is just south of San Francisco and just north of Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a big believer of opening a business in what I would say, for lack of a better term, your backyard. Where'd
Absolutely.
You grow up? Where'd you go to high school? Where's your family's network, friends, family? There's nothing better than to have return referral customers in any
of
business.
Course.
And, you know, you're going to get that when you know people. So to go somewhere where you're just a complete stranger is harder.
And that
Sorry.
Also builds, that's okay. That also builds on that relationship aspect that you talk about, because that's important when you start with family and friends and then build the relationship with their family and friends. It really is a great foundation for business. So how many years were you into this? I know you said y'all had aspirations from the beginning to franchise. How many years into it did you decide to franchise, and how did that go for you?
Well, we opened in 2005, and we looked at starting to franchise at the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. So we were 4 years into the business. We had a lot of success early on. Ironically, through the recession, the company kept growing, and we had to, you know, refocus a little bit as to who our customers were at that time. But we jumped in a little too early. We were very green and hired the wrong, I would say, attorneys. We should have gotten franchise attorneys versus corporate
right.
attorneys.
Absolutely.
We should have done some things differently. So it took us about a year to really get things figured out. And our first franchise was awarded in 2010, the beginning
okay.
of 2010.
Mm-hmm. And so today you have over 100 franchises, franchisees over the U.S. and Canada. How did you expand so quickly? I think that's quickly.
Yeah, thank you very much. Sometimes we think we should expand faster, and other times we feel like we've expanded at the right pace, because at the end of the day, our customers in the franchise world are the franchisees. And so you want to be able to support them as you would your junk removal customers. And so I think we've grown at a good scale. We're at about just shy of 110 franchisees. Those franchisees service what we would say is two to three territories per franchise. So they all have very big populations and have the opportunity for a lot of success. The more customers you touch and have the ability to touch, the more opportunity you have.
Yeah. So when we're talking about, having your own Junk King business, why would somebody be interested in Junk King, and why would they be interested in the junk removal, even though I talked about it before you came on, and it's a $75 billion annual business. So why do you see that still growing and being a viable product out there or service?
Well, prior to us and other companies in the industry, most of the junk removal industry has been just somebody with a truck and or you, the consumer, have to do the work on your own. So they will drop a dumpster or bin off at your house, and you would have to, it would sit in your driveway for a couple days, and you'd have to get somebody to help you load it. And if you have more than one dumpster, then that becomes kind of a challenge, because then you have to wait a couple of days for them to drop off a new one. So where we've changed the industry is that we can take out multiple loads on any single day. We have the manpower and employees that come in and do all the work for you. So we've made it very simple and very convenient so that you can focus on, I heard you say time is valuable, and it is. It's very valuable to our customers. They want to go to the kids' soccer game on the weekend or just go for a hike or whatever they like to do. And if you have to spend all day hauling junk out of your house, that becomes cumbersome and annoying, and you're thinking about whatever else you could be doing other than loading a dumpster full of junk. And so we've come in and given the opportunity where you call us and you just point a finger, you don't lift a thing, and we do all the work for you, and we try to make that quick, clean up after ourselves or after you, I would say, and just make it a very simple process. And we focus our business on, of course, time is super important, pricing is important, but we feel like the industry, and since there is so much junk, you say $75 billion, where is $75 billion of junk going? Well, it's going in the landfills. And so we've focused a lot on our recycling efforts here at Junk King, and that's where we believe this future is for us, is how we can improve the recycling. We have the customer service figured out. We have the marketing and all those different things figured out. It's what can we do to recycle more?
Oh, that's great. That is great, because that's where a lot of the focus is on these days. You hear so much about recycling centers. Talking about some of that, I noticed a phrase on your website, and I wasn't real familiar with it, e-waste. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is and what is that?
E-waste
what
is electronic waste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, e-waste is electronic waste. And so that's any TV monitor, computer monitor, really anything that you can plug in down to the toaster is considered electronic waste. And we certainly don't want those going into the landfill. So there are companies that we can work with that will pick up the electronic waste. I know years ago in California, we were actually paid a little bit for the electronic waste. That is not the case anymore. But you do want to recycle it. You want to handle the items with care and, again, keep them out of the landfill. The recycling world in terms, and I've been in the industry now since 2005, it has changed. Customers in 2005 were worried about pricing and what it was going to cost to get rid of their junk because it was a really new industry. I think the consumer is now more up to speed on the industry and knows that it's there and it's an option. And so then they don't necessarily were thinking about price as much, and they were thinking about their time. And again, now today, things are about recycling and what we're doing with the materials. The challenge with recycling is it's not cost effective in all ways, in all recycling opportunities to recycle. So you either need a lot of the material to recycle effectively, or you need to spend a little bit more of your time and or employees, et cetera, to recycle correctly. So that's why not everyone does it, or the small guy with a truck isn't necessarily recycling every piece of cardboard because there's just not a lot of value in it.
Right. Now, we've talked a lot about consumer junk removal. Do you work with commercial contractors or on the commercial side at all?
Oh, yeah, we really like the commercial side. The consumer cleans out their house 2 to 3 times a year. They can use Junk King. Some, of course, consume more than others and like to buy new things all the time. And like you said, storage units are always full. And especially in California, real estate is so expensive, you don't want a room full of junk that you're paying rent on or a mortgage. So, you know, that is something that's important, but it's only 2 to 3 times a year for the consumer. So when you start to work with the business-to-business customers, i.e. realtors, property managers, contractors, even storage units, they can use you more often than twice a year, in some cases once a week or once a month. And so when they are, that is obviously good for us, and we – you know, value them as customers and look at them as regional or national accounts that we have here at Junk King.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that somehow you help the franchisees connect with some of those commercial accounts and to help build their account base, right?
Yeah, there are many that actually corporate puts together, and those are called national and or regional accounts. Where we've done a lot of the discussion and or lack of better term sales to connect our franchise system with those bigger accounts. We just schedule those appointments. We run a national call center for the whole system. So all those calls come in through our national accounts team, and we will put those jobs on their schedule. On top of that, we have what we call a networking formula or different formulas depending on which industry they're going after, on how you would go meet a realtor and maybe do some type of presentation or where the property managers are. And all of them like a little bit something different in their industry to make life easier on them. So we help our franchises with that so that they can do that on a local level. And then we try to do that on a regional and national level on their behalf.
Yeah, that's great. Because what I find, Mike, is that many times the franchisee has had a job and they come out and they don't really know how to connect with people. They don't know how to network. So it's great for you as the franchisor to kind of, you know, hold their hand a bit and tell them how to make those connections. So that's great. Another thing that I notice is that you guys collaborate, I guess, with the American Heart Association. Tell me about that.
Yes, we just did a program with the American Heart Association, which was great. And we gave them, I believe it was $10 per job that we did on Wear Red Day. It was just a very successful day in the system, and the franchisees got involved, and we were pushing to get more jobs on our schedule on that particular day. And I think we ended up giving a nice check to the American Heart Association. And, you know, any disease, whether it's, you know, heart disease or cancer or something like that, and you've had family members or friends go through it, we are in a position to make a difference and help out here at Junk King. And so it's something that is important to me. We have different campaigns every month, not necessarily at the level of the American Heart Association. It could be Mother's Day or Father's Day or something as simple as that, but we really want to give back to the community to the best of our abilities.
You know, I always love aligning myself with companies that understand that there is, I believe, a responsibility and obligation to give back to the community, because if the community is what's making us successful as a business, then it seems like giving back is the natural thing to do. So I'm so glad to hear that Junk King buys into that as well. I tell you what, Mike, we need
Absolutely.
To take a quick commercial break. However, is there maybe a success story that you could share with us when we come back to kind of give our listeners an idea of maybe a franchisee that struggled in the beginning and maybe had some success after you had them on the right path? Is there some that you could share with us when we come back?
Yeah, I have a couple stories I can share with you. I'd be glad to.
Absolutely.
Would you like me to do that now or when we get back?
No, when we come back from commercial break, that'll be a great time to do that.
Okay, no problem. Okay.
Great. So, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Mike's going to tell us a little bit more about, you know, one-on-one, an example, a success story, so that you can kind of see how being a part of Junk King might be for you. So we'll come back in a bit with more from All Things Franchising.
Ready to update your tired old kitchen or bathroom? Then you need to call Gambone's Custom Home Improvements. Gambone's does all phases of remodeling, specializing in kitchen and bath remodels. Gambone's Custom Home Improvements is a company you can trust. Family owned and operated with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Call Gambone's today, 832-437-8898, or check them out on the web at gamboneschi.com. That's gamboneschi.com. Gambone's Custom Home Improvements, where you will get quality work at a quality price.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Do you know a family fighting cancer? The Jest Foundation nonprofit was founded right here in Katy, Texas, by cancer survivor Michelle Perzan, whose vision is to assist those currently fighting by providing grants to help support family needs, whether spiritually, emotionally, or financially. Michelle and her family know all too well that there comes a time when the day-to-day needs we take for granted become impossible. Jest Foundation has been able to bless 100% of the applications submitted, and now they need your help. Find out more by going to jestfoundation.org.
Are you dreaming of owning your own business but just don't know where to begin? The wait is now over. All Things Franchising is the radio show that you've been waiting for. Whether you're looking to create a living that will allow you to leave corporate America, change your lifestyle by growing your business, allowing you to experience some of the fun things in life, or if you are looking to build a legacy that will support your family for years to come. Linda Ballesteros is your host on All Things Franchising, where she interviews franchise experts from around the world. We feature top franchisors, franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, as well as others who support this fast-growing business model. Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages to listen to past shows and join the conversations on All Things Franchising.
Hey, folks, welcome back to All Things Franchising. This is Linda Ballesteros, and we're talking junk today. So, Mike, you were going to share with us maybe a real-life experience of one of your franchisees?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. I was listening to your commercial break, and I was thinking to myself that Gambone Construction should be using Junk King in the local market.
They absolutely should. They absolutely should.
Anyway, you know, we've had some very interesting stories, and most of them you like to remember the successful ones. And What I love about junking is you're giving an opportunity for someone to follow a career path of owning their own business. And so I remember one of our franchises in Cincinnati, Ohio, came to us for Discovery Day, and then he came to Training Week, and he walked out of Training Week. It was very early on in our business. We were a year in to the company. Still very green. We didn't know that we were green at the time, but compared to where the company is today and the success that we've had and the employees that we have here at corporate to help us scale the business, we were certainly green at the time. And I remember him leaving and telling me the last day of Training Week is, I have a family at home. He was a VP in sales at a big company, and he left that to start his own dream and own his own franchise. And he said, I got a family at home and I have to make $100,000 a year tomorrow. And I remember thinking to myself, that's not going to happen. Immediately, you know. And you know what? He got there very, very quickly. And that's not the success story that every one of our franchises had. But he was very determined, got very involved in the community. And I can tell you today, unfortunately, Pete McCreary in Cincinnati has passed away. But his family has continued to run the business. And what he did is he surrounded himself with amazing individuals, managers at the company and culture. And to lose such a significant person at the company, you would expect it to drop off. And all that company's done is continue to grow year over year. And I think this year they're going to do close to $3 million in revenue. And they've just been just such an amazing success story and leader in the industry, leader in our company, super influential. But I can tell you, as such a great success story as that was, I was terrified when he left Training Week because I just – didn't know, and I was nervous to get him to, you know, a six-figure income in our business so quickly. It just didn't seem that feasible. But he was one that the way he built his business was from having strong relationship with his employees and just an amazing, amazing community effort. And he has helped, you know, structure Junking today. And I would say there's so many little success stories. And sure, I'm the founder and CEO of the company. To me, that means really nothing. What I've been able to do is leverage those franchisees, peers, customers, employees, and their success stories and their ideas, and looking at the best KPIs in the industry and who's doing the best marketing and who's doing the best sales and who's doing the best networking and how are they doing it and why are they doing it and how are they changing our industry and communities. And then you try to leverage that across your whole system. And so I would say that's our biggest success story is our franchisees have created Junking. It's not Mike Andriocchi, the CEO of Junking. It's not necessarily the corporate staff. It's the franchisees who are kind of putting their blood, sweat, and tears, for lack of a better term, into the business on a daily basis. And so Pete did that and exemplified that on the highest level. We have other franchises in the system that have done the same thing. I remember Paul Durant in Denver is going to see the same type of revenues this year as Cincinnati. And he tells the story of he had $3,000 or $4,000 left in his bank account. And in the month of May, coming out of the winter, was a make or break month. And that was about, you know, 6-7 years ago. And he fought through it and he got involved in the communities and he rallied his team around him. And, you know, today we have you start with more working capital than we had Paul start with back then, again, being very green and very new. So we don't expect that to happen to our franchisees today. But here he is a huge success story. And we do what we call our $1 million trip every year. And that's franchises that have done $1 million in revenue. And we're close to 25-30% of our system is going on that trip in March.
Oh,
and it's just a great
amazing time
to get some great success stories together, families together. We do that in Mexico. And it's just a really great time. And you know, sorry to keep dragging on, but there are some, you know, of course there aren't some success. There's some franchisees that just didn't work, and, you know, maybe running a business wasn't for them, or maybe we were really green early on. So it's really great to go on that trip and be with the real uber successful franchise partners and all positive.
So what I'm hearing, from you, Mike, is that those that are successful, those that are in your $1 million club, they really work hard. I think it's a misnomer sometimes for those who think, oh, I'll buy a franchise and then business will just come flowing in the door. Just because it's a franchise, you still have to work at it. And the most successful franchisees, it sounds like what you're telling me, is those that work it as well.
You know, it's, I agree. The misnomer on franchising is the McDonald's. Of course, if you can invest in a McDonald's and you can put one on the corner of a major thoroughfare in your market, you are going to be successful and the consumer knows who they are. But there's so many other franchise systems. I believe there's almost 4,000 franchise systems in the U.S. that you really are just starting your own business with that brand nobody knows in your particular market. And so you do have to do a good job of building and scaling your business. And the beauty of franchising is that you're not going into business alone. And that's why people have business partners, is because there's this unconscious fear, and I have had a business partner, and of doing things alone, and you want to jump into something with somebody. You know, nobody says, hey, I'm going to go skydiving today, and goes by themselves and up into a plane and without a friend or family member, or girlfriend, significant other to go with them, because it's a scary thing to do by yourself. And so running a business is the same thing. And the beauty of franchising is that we are that business partner. We give you that ability to say, hey, we've been there, we've done that, we know this, the best success stories and how they got there. And that's really the beauty of franchising. But you still have to work at it. You still have to get involved in the community. You still have to create culture within. In our industry, it's all about culture. And it's about working with your employees and the guys on the trucks, getting involved in the community. So do your employees want to do business with you? Do they want to scale your business? And do your customers want to do business with you? Do they want to try your services? Do they like you? Do they trust you in their homes? Those type of things. And so it is not easy.
Mike, that's great information that you're giving to our listeners out there, just basic franchise information. If somebody's listening and they think, I want to hear more from this guy about Junk King, where can they find out more? Your website, your contact information?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the easiest way to book an appointment with us is to call 888-888-JUNK. JUNK is 5865, so it's a very easy number to remember, 888-888-JUNK. If you want to learn more about franchising, you would do that on our website, which is www.junk-king.com. So that's junk-king.com. And those are the easiest ways to get a hold of us. We're very speedy and prompt at getting back to you, whether you're a consumer or interested in our franchise systems. That's what we pride ourselves on here.
Wonderful. Well, we're down to the end of the show, and we're down to those final questions. So the first question is, if there is someone listening who is considering purchasing a franchise, what would you suggest that they do prior to prepare for this process?
Oh, just call Junk King. That's what I suggest they do. No, I'm kidding. You know, when you're going into owning your own business, and I see this time and time again, and our VP of franchising here at Junk King, and I work with them on this, is the individual has to know what industry they want to go into. What do they like? Sometimes you can buy a business that just success gets you there, and the idea of making money can make you happy. But in reality, that's never the case. You want to be in an industry and something you enjoy. And so you have to really be able to recognize that. You may want to own a beauty supply store, but then you certainly don't also want to own a junk company. It's one or the other. They're two totally separate industries. So I think you really have to soul search a bit and ask yourself, where does your past career take you? And what industry do you want to be in? Do you want to own a restaurant? Do you want to own a food kiosk? Do you want to own a service company? And then that opens up, service opens up a lot of opportunities, one being junking. But there are many service company franchises out there. Janitorial. There's so many different options. I think it's important that you focus on the industry that will make you happy, and then that'll narrow down your search from there. And then you obviously, the franchise broker is a love-hate in the industry, because us here at Junk King, we pay brokers when they bring us leads. But brokers are great for an individual who really doesn't know what they're looking for. And so they would contact a franchise broker who helps them narrow down that process. And knows a lot of franchise systems, businesses that can help them to be successful and fulfill that dream. So those are the things I would suggest.
Yeah, that's great advice, because there are some people that say, oh, well, the restaurant industry, that's what I want. I want a restaurant franchise because everybody has to eat, but they have no experience in it. So
right.
It's not a good match. So it is critical to start there first. It's almost like you have to do some soul searching before you even open up the list of franchise concepts before you even get started. So the second question here, Mike, is what are two traits? And we may have talked a little bit about this, but what are two traits that make a successful franchisee for Junk King?
You know, I think any business, to be honest, is your employees have to want to be able to, and I already mentioned this, but it's because I mean it just wholeheartedly, is it kind of three things. One, your employees have to want to do business with you and have to want to help you scale your business, whether you own a hot dog stand, a restaurant, or a service company. It's important that you create culture within your business, and some people just can't do that. But you have to be able to want to empower your employees. Don't micromanage them. Them help you to scale your business. The same goes with the consumer. Consumers have to want to be able to do business with you. And so there is a personality trait that we kind of look for at Junk King, and it's a little bit more of that outgoing personality that you can influence people. And then I live by the idea of win the war, not the battle. There are so many battles that we can fight every day that are absolutely meaningless, and all they do is drive your own ego to win a battle. You have to think about, how do I win the war? How do I provide for my family and opportunity at the end of the day?
That's a very good point, winning the war, not the battle, because what can happen is you can get all wrapped up in the little battles and you totally lose focus on what's important, and that's making the business successful, getting out there. And it's like getting wrapped up in the day-to-day, minutiae.
Yeah, we see it time and time again. You can't get in our business, you can't get wrapped up in the operations too much, because then you're not looking at scaling the business. You're not looking at getting involved in the community. And so if you're fighting individual battles, you're never going to get there. So you have to, I guess the terminology is to see the forest through the trees and be able to focus on what's important for your business and for you as an individual. And that could be different for everybody.
Right.
We don't have the same culture with our 110 franchises, but each franchise has a culture within their business. And as long as their employees believe in that culture and want to help you scale your business, you will be successful in whichever business model you go into. You're only as good as your weakest link. I was a big athlete growing up, and team sports and again was following kind of a football career, and that's all about team. It's all about every player holding their role and their responsibility. And if you get caught up in the battles of what happened on the last play, then you're going to miss the next play and you lose the game. So I think I've learned a lot of that throughout my career. And you really have to leverage your teammates, your employees, to do what they can do and what they do well, and appreciate that and don't micromanage them.
Yeah. Very good advice there. Final question here is, what does the future of franchising look like? What direction do you see it going in?
Well, franchising as a whole is scaling tremendously, as you said early on. Franchising is a way that you can scale your business very rapidly. I think in the end, of course, you'd like to own all of the markets across the U.S., but who is going to manage that? And how right. hard is that going to be to manage? So franchising is giving companies an opportunity to scale their brand, I guess, at a rapid pace. And more importantly, it gives lots of opportunity for business owners and people to become business owners across the U.S. And part of that is the American dream, for lack of a better term, to own your own business and manage your own business. And franchising is continuing to scale and go in that route. And so I think you'll continue to see more franchises because they already have the model and the success story, and it's easier to do that than to open your own business. It's easier to join a franchise system and have that built-in business partner early on. And so I just see franchising continue to scale at a rapid pace. It's an exciting and fun industry and business model to be in because of those success stories and because you can build a national brand. I can tell you for myself, if I travel and see a Junk King truck on the road, It is very exciting. Of course, if I'm going to visit a franchise, I expect to see trucks, but it's when you're not and you're just traveling with the family and you see a truck on the road, that is exciting and people want that opportunity. So franchising is going to continue to scale.
Yeah, that is awesome. Mike, one more time, where can people get in touch with you? Where can they find out more information about Junk King?
So, again, for the consumers, you could schedule appointments online, which I'll give you the our website shortly. But you can also call our 888 number. So it's 888-888-JUNK, and JUNK is 5865. And then our website is www.junk-king.com. So junk-king.com. Anything you need is there on our website. We have our pricing there. We have our franchise opportunities there. And so it's a very easy way to get a hold of us.
Wonderful. Mike, thanks again for being on the show today. I love your passion and in helping people and in helping people to actually achieve their dream of owning their own business. So again, thanks so much for being on the show.
No, thank you. I've enjoyed myself. And don't forget to recycle, people. That's the exciting part.
That's right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
So, folks, you've heard from Mike about recycling. You've heard about a different industry within the industry of franchising. And I love hearing the passion that he has. I loved hearing his story of getting started and where he is today. And knowing along the way, no matter what you choose, there will be bumps along the way. It's not the bumps that count. It's how you experience that, how you come out of that. So I want to leave you with a quote, as always. You should not go by my humble beginnings, but be wary of my enormous vision. That's a quote by an unknown author. I should take that myself. I love that. You should not go by my humble beginnings, but be wary of my enormous vision. What I would say today, folks, is make sure that you've got an enormous vision and go out there and achieve that. Thanks so much for being with me today on All Things Franchising. See you next time.
Another great episode of All Things Franchising is now in the books. You can listen to past shows by following All Things Franchising on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure not to miss us next time when we bring you a brand new episode of All Things Franchising.